Glory be to God. All right, let's welcome one another before we have our seat. Hallelujah. Has God been good to us? Has God been so good to us? It's been good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Thank you because you minister again to our hearts. Thank you because we'll be changed again by your word. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for you will help us tonight. Even as we study your word together, you will breathe your breath upon us. You give life to our soul. You give life to our spirit. And our bodies also will have life by the reason of the words that you will speak to us tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I submit myself to you tonight and I ask that you take charge. But a vessel in your presence, Lord. I ask that you speak your word through me in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name have we prayed. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So, how many of us remember what we were taught on Sunday? All right. So, can we chorus it together? Profiting with the word of God. All right. So, let's quickly do a little recap. And then we'll dive in to trust God for what he has for us tonight. Amen. Amen. All right, so remember that on Sunday we had mentioned that we do life with the heart, right? Yes, ma'am. And the heart is a vital part of us doing life and profiting with God's word. We also learned about different kinds of hearts, right? And a possible way out of the different heart conditions. Yes. All right. Projector, please, can you help me? So I finally was able to do the table. Okay. So like I said, it's just a recap, right? So let's just quickly look through it. So we have the heart, the condition, and the possible solution. Yeah, so the wayside, what was the condition of the heart? And what's the solution? What does it say? All right, thank you. The other heart, stony, no roof. All right, what was the possible solution? With mind. I will be rooted and grounded in. Beautiful. All right, the next one is? The thorns, the heart. And what was the condition? It was unfruitful. What are the possible? We had like four scriptures. I said to put just these two. Hebrews 12:1. Let us therefore lay aside every weight. Right? So great. Yeah. Then James 1:21. Laying aside all superfluousness of nothingness. Yeah. Beautiful. And then the last heart was a good heart. And what was the condition of that heart? Bears fruit and produces. And then, well, this is not necessarily a solution. It's what, how you can continue in bearing fruit and producing. You know, we had John 15. We couldn't read it, but I told us to read it. How many of us did? All right. John 15:1-8. Then 2 Peter 1:5-8. Beautiful. So, it was a beautiful one, right? Yeah. Thank you. Can take it out. I am grateful. Okay. Can leave it for some few seconds. All right. So, because I have to wait, let me see if I can just run through. So, how many of us had time to pray again when we got home or all during the week about the teaching? All right. I hope we believe the word of God. Yeah. The Lord will always answer our prayers. Especially every time we come to the Lord with a sincere heart. Amen. Amen. All right, so today we're going to be looking at, I would say it's a continuation, but at the same time, I don't know if it's really a continuation. We're going to be looking at Hebrews. We're going to be looking at 4 chapters in Hebrews. I don't know, but I know that we'll be able to run through it. It's not going to be a deep study. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Particularly, we are going to 3 and 4, but the reason why I want us to see 1 and 2 is because of context. I want us to take it properly from context. That's why we are looking at chapters 1 and chapters 2. And it's not all the verses. We'll pick out. So are we ready? Yeah. But before we do that, Romans 10:10. Thank you, Jesus. All right. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We read this on Sunday. So I want us to start from here so that we remember that it's with the heart that we believe. With the heart that we believe. I know it's with the heart that we can come to God. It's with our hearts that we can do everything, even with our natural life. Hallelujah. So, with the heart, we believe. With the heart, we believe. With the heart, we believe. Hallelujah. All right, Hebrews chapter 1. You know, the book of Hebrews is a very interesting... it's a very interesting book. I don't know how many of us have had time to study Hebrews before. But it's very interesting. You know, we're actually going to chapter 3. And the reason why we are looking at chapter 3 is because there's an example for us there. Amen. There's an example for us there. But we'll go there. But I want us to just quickly run through chapter 1 and 2. And then we'll run to 3. And then we do 4. And then by God's grace, we'll have had a beautiful Bible study this evening. Amen. Amen. Can you all hear me well?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Okay. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet. Please stay back. Okay, so I knew this scripture with KJV. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, yeah, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But we are using NKJV, it's fine. So God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. All right, verse 2 now, let's go. Has in these last days spoken to us by his, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So how is the Father speaking to us now? By his Son. He's speaking to us through his Son. Beautiful. So he says that, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son. Let's see, Amplified. Classic. Or NLT. I want us to... Okay, thank you. Verse 2. Okay, but in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of his Son, whom he has appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the riches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Can I see NLT? And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Can I see TPT? There's something I'm looking for. Okay. But to us living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of his Son, the appointed heir of everything. For through him, God created... created the... I don't like English. Of all things and all time. All right. I don't like simple things. Don't mind me. All right. So what I wanted to bring out is that God is still speaking to us. And how is he doing that? He's speaking to us still by his son. Hallelujah. So let's quickly go back to how we started on Sunday. We said that the issue was not the hearing, right? The issue was not the hearing of God's word. The issue was the heart condition. All right. So God is still speaking even till now. Hallelujah. But he's speaking to us by his son. He's speaking to us by his son. Okay. Don't let me run ahead of myself. All right, let's just continue. I'll just read verse. We're reading just verse 1 to 4 of Hebrews 1. I'll just explain the remaining. So, verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So he was talking about Christ Jesus here. That Christ Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. So he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So verse 1 to 4 of Hebrews chapter 1 was just showing us how there was a way God used to speak before, and then he started speaking. So he used to speak by the prophets. So I don't want to do a study on this. That's not the plan. But let me just give an overview. So each time God met with the fathers of old, Moses, Abraham, God spoke to them, right? And then different prophets, truth, yes or no? Then when he became speaking with the children of Israel, he did more of using prophets, right? All right, don't worry. Maybe some other time we'll do a full study on this. I don't know if God permits. But what I just want to bring out from reading Hebrews chapter 1 is that right now, God is speaking to us through his son. Don't worry, we are still going to chapter 3 and 4. So I don't want to stay too long here. So Jesus now speaks. John 6:63 says that, can you please open for us? For the words I speak to you. Okay, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and the life. So this was what Jesus said here. Now, from verse 5 to 14 of Hebrews 1, we're just seeing how God exalted Jesus. So verse 5 says something like, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, and again I'll be to him a father. So from verse 5 to verse 14, we're just seeing how Jesus exalted the son that he mentioned in verse 2 that he now speaks through. Do we understand?
Yes.
All right. So I'm just giving us an overview of what Hebrews chapter 1 said. And the reason why I want us to see this is because of where we are going to in chapter 3. All right, I'll read verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 1. That's the last verse there. It says that, are they not all ministering spirit sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Now, chapter 2 now says, therefore, so the reason why I wanted us to read chapter 1 was because when I was studying, I saw therefore. That means there must have been something happening before this point. So that was why, I really wanted us to read through it. So we got to chapter 2 and he said, therefore, we must what? Give more earnest aid to the things we have, lest we. All right, we'll read it again. I want us to catch it. Therefore, we must give more earnest aid to the things. These things that we have heard, who spoke Who spoke? All right. God spoke three, son. All right. So we can see there's an importance now put on that which has been spoken. And he said we must do what? Give more earnest aid to the things we have heard. Lest we what? We drift away. No, I will take you back to Sunday, to what we studied on Sunday. NLT. We're reading NLT and Amplified of this chapter 1. I'm not staying long here at all. All right, we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Okay, Amplified Classic. Since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and we'll do what? And we slip away. Okay. So before we read, we're going to stop at verse 4 of this chapter 2. So before we read that, so he's saying that we must give attention. We must give close attention to that which is being spoken to us. He says that to the truth that we have heard, and we speaking it, the Son, right? And we also have established that the Son is still speaking till now, right? And so that means every word of God that we hear, who is speaking to us? Who is speaking to us? Who is speaking to us? The Son. He's speaking to us by His Son, right? So each time God's word comes, each time you open your Bible, don't forget that Jesus has said that the words that He speaks, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. So each time you open, as simple as John 3:16 is, that thing carries spirit and you must give earnest to that word. Do we understand? Do we understand? So we must ensure that we are hearing right. We must give earnest ear to what we hear. Hallelujah. Because it's very important. It's not just speaking. Each time God's words come, it's not just because He has plenty in His quiver. No. He's passing to us spirit and life. He's passing to us a lot of virtues. And then the way we hear, the way we receive it is very important. Hallelujah. Okay, so I'm back in NKJV. Therefore, we must give the more earnest ear to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. You can see it says that once you do not give earnest ear, what will happen? You drift away. So you can see that it's very similar to what will happen to one of those hearts that we read in Matthew 13. Right? Okay. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, the word spoken through who? Angels proved what? And every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect what? A salvation which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who? All right, so those who heard him, yeah, he was just talking about the disciples, the apostles, right? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, according to his own. See the weight at which he has put on that which we hear. So he's saying that if the words of angels, which in chapter 1, can you see what he did in chapter 1? He tried to make us see that, yeah, angels are great beings, right? But there is one who is actually greater. And he made us see that in chapter 1, right? So if you read through verse 5 to 14, you will see how he made us see how that the Son is greater than angels. And even now said in verse 14 of chapter 1, that these angels, they are just ministering spirits. For even we that have been called to partake of this salvation that the Son is speaking of. Do we get it? So he's saying that if that same word that angels spoke proves steadfast, a lot of things in the Old Testament actually were workings of the angels. Like, the Son was not in the picture. God was just speaking and doing things. Imagine, it was an angel that caused the donkey to speak. So those things had great weight, right? But he's saying that what the Son is doing right now is greater, is much more. Do you understand? And so he said in verse 2 that if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. We are not getting it. All right, let me explain. So, because of the weight that the words of the angels carried, each time they still transgressed and disobeyed, they received a reward for that. Do you get? So he's now saying in verse 3 that how shall we escape if we neglect the sayings of the Son, which is salvation? Do we get now?
Yes.
All right. So how shall we? The words that are spoken by the Lord are way greater and more steadfast than the words of angels. So if we do not take heed to what we hear, then there's a reward. All right. So we must pay close attention. Yeah, I'm working with time. I don't need to read verse 5. Maybe this can help you go study chapter 2, verse 5. So let's move. Chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so chapter 3 is going to be a long read so that we can catch it well. So, I told you that we're actually going to chapter 3 and chapter 4. Right? Okay, so let's go. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who builds the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. All right. Therefore. So, remember what I said about therefores, right? So, there was a conversation. And then we have gotten to a therefore. All right. So, let's go. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden as in the rebellion. In the day of trial. Don't worry, we are going to look at. So that's why I said we are coming to chapter 3. This is where we are coming to. So we are going to look into this a little bit more. So he says that therefore, today, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear whose voice? Who is speaking? So that's why it took us back to Hebrews 1. Do we get it now? You understand why I took us back to Hebrews 1 now? All right. Thank you for understanding. Because I'm sure people are wondering, if you are coming here, why did we go all the ways? For context, so that you understand, okay, if you hear whose voice are we hearing? Is it just the Holy Spirit's voice or whose voice? So who was speaking? Now we understand the context in which this chapter 3 is here, right? Okay. So if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. So we are going to look at what is... I'm sure I've confused people. What do not harden your heart as in the rebellion? Which one is rebellion? What exactly are we saying? In the day of trial in the wilderness, okay. Now verse 9 says, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw, I want us to finish it before we go, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not, 11. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren. So now there's a warning. So verse 7 to 11 was telling us something. Now it's not telling us that beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil of unbelief. Don't forget, we are still talking about the heart, too. Good. In departing from the living God. So what kind of heart can depart from the living God? An evil heart. We didn't even touch that at all on Sunday. So there's another heart that is called an evil heart. Alright. And that one can choose to depart because of unbelief. Beautiful. But exalt one another while it is called, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Of Egypt, led by Moses. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, and to whom that they will not enter his rest, but to those who do not obey? Alright, they did not enter because of? Alright. This verse 7 to 11 was taken from Psalms 95 verse 7 to 11 too. Just let us read it. Let's read it. Okay. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, they saw. For 40 years, I was grieved with that and said, it's a people who go astray in their hearts. Okay? So I swore in my wrath. Alright, so I'm sure somebody is wondering, so why did we come from Matthew to Hebrews? It's because I wanted us to see this example. And these people that God was talking about were his chosen ones, right? These people were his chosen ones. See, he was jealous over them. He was really jealous over them. But see the kind of, there was a jealousy over them, but see what a kind of heart can do to a people that God is jealous over. God is jealous over us in Glory Center Community Church, right? But if we have this kind of heart also, then this can also happen. So that's why we are looking at this as an example. You know, scripture is written for us as examples. All right. So, back in Hebrews chapter 3, it says that do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. So let's quickly go and look for what that rebellion is. It's Bible study, right? Beautiful. Numbers 13. So I want to see those that he was talking about, what they did exactly. Numbers 13. Okay, thank you. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I think I should just open it here so I don't strain. Alright. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. So you know I'm going to run from verse 4, and I'm running to verse 17. So he was just mentioning those that were sent, their names, up to verse 16. So verse 17 now goes, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of... So the land of Canaan was the land God had promised them. That was the promised land, right? So Moses sent them to go and check out the land, right? And God had said he was going to give it to them. All right. So then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. I want to move verse 26. So he has sent them. Verse 25 says, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Okay. Now 26 now says, we are going to 31. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Beautiful. It gave them something to show. And then told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Wow. Isn't that great news already? Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and among the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Beautiful. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And then they gave the children, verse 13 now says, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they are spies, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Already, if you send someone on an errand, person comes to tell you this, what has person sown? Fear. Will you want to go anywhere? No. All right. Chapter 14 of Numbers. Then, all right, let's just go to verse 11. There was a back and forth, but I don't want to go there. It's only Joshua and Caleb that kept on seeing the good. So verse 11 to 14 says, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. See what their heart did. Like, it got, I can't imagine God. Like, they pushed God to that point where he was going to say, you know what? I'm done with these guys. And I will make of you a nation greater and mighty. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. 13 now says, then Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians, no, Moses was just trying to intercede for his people. Then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might, we brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, has seen face to face, and your cloud stands before them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar. So remember all of this, right? God did a lot with them. And so when God now speaks to them, what should their heart do? Their heart is not supposed to stay in fear because of how God has shown himself to them, right? They have to be able to respond swiftly to the commandment of God. So you can see the heart, right? All right, verse 20 to 24. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. You know, the Lord is merciful, right? As in Moses really used a lot of, he said, verse 18, he says, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity. And so, you know, sometimes that's what we do to God. When God gives us an instruction, many times we try to cajole him and call him sweet names, but in our heart of hearts, you are still going to disobey him. Abby? Ah. So I'm doing like, all right. So just, the Lord now said, okay, I've pardoned according to your word. Shebi, that's what you want me to do. All right. I've heard your plea. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to test now this 10 times. Ha! Hey, Lord. And have not heeded my voice. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. We should do what? Take earnest heed. He said, yeah, they have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. Can you see the state of that man's heart? He said that he has a different spirit in him and he has followed the Lord fully. I will bring into the land where he went and his descendants shall inherit it. Hallelujah. Amen. Make sure you're helping your neighbors. Nobody must sleep. Hallelujah. So can you see that heart? Can you see that we are still back in that heart matter? Is an heart matter. So hearing God's word and doing it is what? And is heart. Is an heart matter. Amen. Amen. You know, they pushed God. Said, I'm feeling for God. Like 10 times. They did it. They kept doing it 10 times. And then God just got to that point. You know, okay. I'm merciful, yes. I'm a good God, yes. But I am not, these ones are not worthy of entering into the land. I know we must not be people like this. We must learn from their example. That's why it was recorded for us. We must never get to that point where our hearts are hardened. Where it says that we must not have an evil heart of unbelief. That thing called evil heart of unbelief is a great thing. I know it's one of the things we must always trust God for. Amen. Amen. All right. Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews. We are done with Numbers. I just want to show us what that rebellion was. Chapter 3. We are still in chapter 3. We'll move soon. All right. It says, so, verse 7. Today, yeah. It says that as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Now we understand what he's saying about that rebellion. Yes, beautiful. So we must not harden our hearts. Today, that word today speaks of urgency. Like you can't delay on God's command. You can't delay on God's word. You can't say, I will do it later. There's an urgency with God's word. The way he speaks it to us is the way we must respond to it. Amen. We must be swift to hear what the Lord is saying. James 1:19 says that we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Amen. So we must be swift to hear. We must respond daily to the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord comes by his word, right? Amen. Amen. You know, I'm sure many of us are thinking in our hearts. So, if you are saying that the heart, so really, how can I have a good heart then? See, the people that saw the good hand of the Lord still had an evil heart of unbelief. So how can I have a good heart? What can I do, Lord, to not have come to this point? You know, Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. You know, from when I read this scripture, the way I used to know it in my head was not the way I finally saw it rendered. I was consoled that, yes, no matter how bad this my heart is, there's still, the Lord can still help my heart, you know. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So, thank God, the Lord, at least, if no one can see my heart, the Lord can, and he can search it. Yeah, and he can search it. So, a constant prayer for your heart is, Lord, search my heart of every evil tendencies. Don't assume in yourself that you're a good boy or a good girl. Your heart, you yourself, you do not know it. You don't know the extent to which your heart can go. Amen. Amen. It is only the Lord that can tender our heart. He's the only one that can actually tenderize my heart. And so I should always, I should go to him to help my heart always. Amen. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. We are almost done. I'm supposed to read everything. Let me see if that's possible. Okay, let's see. Let's see if we can rush it. So we are now in chapter 4. So we understand what happened in chapter 3, right? So let me go back to chapter 3, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Therefore, we are back again, therefore, right? Since a promise remains of entering is rest. Let us fear lest any of you to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Can you remember what we said on Sunday? They heard the gospel, but it did not what? Not being what? In. So faith is a very key ingredient. Faith is a very, very key ingredient in profiting with God's word. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. So what's one thing that will not allow you to enter God's rest? Alright, verse 7. Again, it designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, has it been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had then, not after what I have spoken of another day, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from the works as God did from his. All right, let's hold on. So, you know, I was saying that before we read Jeremiah, that, you know, someone can be here asking, so, Lord, how can you help my heart? How can I even really know this heart? I know, we're going to see that now. It's what we already know. It's a scripture we already know. It says that, 11 now says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of. So there was an example, which was what we read about. Okay, so that we will also, the reason why we are learning from that is so that we will not go into that same error. Now, verse 12 now says, which we already know, Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of, and is what? Is a discerner of the, and the intent of the heart. So where will you find your heart, your state of heart? In the word. So how can you detect, okay, what's wrong with my heart? Am I sure that I'm still on? So that's why you cannot, as a child of God, leave the word of God. Because actually the word that will discover your heart's condition. Do you get that? So is the word of God, he says, is living and powerful. He's a discerner of thoughts and the intent of the heart. The intent, like the actual intent of your heart, is only the word that can detect it, that can make you see it, and then it will help you to run to God and ask for help. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give accounts. Only the Lord really knows our hearts. So verse 14 now says, see then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now see what he says. You know, he's the one that can see your heart. So he now says you should do what? Let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Can you see a way out? So, you don't have to get to that point of having an evil heart of unbelief. So you must keep exposing your heart to the word of God, which is quick and powerful. Hallelujah. And when you see the state of your heart, you come where? To the throne of grace. Boldly, knowing that in yourself you cannot do anything. And then you are coming to the one that can help you. You come to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, you know, as we read, I'm sure we saw a lot of places that say they will not enter his rest. They will not come into his rest. That rest can mean God's peace. It can mean a place of peace. It can mean salvation. It can even mean heaven. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus was the one speaking there. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, rest. I will give you rest. So he can give you rest. He can give you rest. As long as you keep doing what? Coming to him. You have to keep coming to him. You have to keep coming to him. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So you come to him, he gives you rest. Then you take upon you his yoke, and you keep learning of him. You keep hearing his words. You keep hearing. And then by that, you will find rest for your souls. Only God's word can actually search through the deepest part of our heart. and can indeed purge us of every evil tendencies. You actually do not know your heart. You actually do not know the tendencies that are in your heart. And the only way you can come out of that is to seek help from God. I know by doing this, you will profit. You will profit. You will profit because you just know that I have no other place to go. I have nowhere else to run to. I have nothing else to do but to run before God. Let him search my heart. Let him just search me through and through. Let him just search me and purge out every tendencies of evil, of unbelief, of disobedience. Let him just search my heart so that indeed my heart can become a good one and will be able to profit with his word. Let him just search my heart. Search me, O Lord. Search the deepest part of me. Search that part that is even hidden from me. Search my heart, O Lord. Can you just search me, Lord? I come before your throne of grace. I come boldly. And I'm open before you. I am naked before you. And I'm saying, Lord, just search me. I've come for help. Only you can help me. Only you can help me. Can you just search my heart? I do not want to have that kind of heart that you will just push away. I want the kind of heart that you always welcome in into your presence, into your very place, Lord. That's the kind of heart I am looking out for, Jesus. Can you just purge me, Lord? Purge my heart, Jesus. Purge my heart, Lord. There is nowhere else I can go to, Lord. There's no one else I can run to, Lord. Can you just purge me, Jesus? Lord, I come before your throne this night. I and my brothers and sisters, we come before your throne. We come before your throne, and all that we are asking is that you will purge us. You will remove every tendency of evil in our hearts. Our hearts will be through before you. Our hearts will be pure before you. Our hearts will be open before you. We will receive your word each time and we will use it. We will not have any form of disobedience in us. We will not have any form of disobedience. Purge us, O God. Purge us, Jesus. Purge this heart of mine, Lord. Purge the motives of my heart, the intents of my heart, Lord. Only you know it. Only you see it. So can you just purge me of every tendencies, Father? Oh, Lord, purge us tonight. Help us, Jesus.
Help us, Father. Help us, Jesus. Thank you. Okay. I would really want to implore each and every one of us. You know, we should go back home and, you know, sit with God and see this one instrument that is vital for your walk with God. You know, as I was seated there, I just tried to even reflect that it seems like God has been speaking to us about our heart for a while. And I mean, I personally, for probably like 10 years, I've come to understand the devastation that a bad heart can do or can cause, or the troubles that a heart that is bad weak, and it causes the owner of the heart many troubles, and even causes those around that kind of heart to lose a lot. For example, if any one of us here has a bad heart, it's a loss to us. But because we don't want anyone to have a bad heart, because we know that God needs our heart for the work that He's doing here. And so the heart is a very, why it's even very important is because even the owner of the heart does not know the depth of the heart. It's not like your appetite that you know what to eat. When you say, what do you want to eat? Is it pounded yam? If you ask your heart, the owner of the heart, if you ask your heart, what do you want to eat? Your heart can say mango, and it's not mango. So that's why it says that heart is deceitful. So it's a right prayer. See, if you pray more for your heart than safe journey on the road, you are doing well. You are doing well. Because even to diagnose the evil heart is very, very, it's only God that can do it. Like, the heart can be under the mighty ministration of the word of God and is very evasive. Like, the heart is very, is one of the mysteries that mankind itself can't figure out. And that's why at times when God convicts you, you are shocked at what is even in your heart. When God tells you that, Tade, you are trying to do this, I'm like, me? I want to kill someone, me. And so the tendencies of the heart are, I'm not scaring us, but I'm telling us that devil and God knows what that heart can do. So you that you own the heart that you think is for love. I'll tell you, the love that your heart can love is like 1% of what your heart is meant to be used for. I mean, love humans. You know, if you love the whole mankind, you've not exhausted the heart. Like, if you love 855 billion, that's you've not used 1%. It's only God that can fill that space, and so its capabilities are unimaginable. You know, can you quickly write down, I don't want to take our time, but just quickly write down this thing. Because you want to take this to God in prayer, because some of us, God might use it to help us really, help us navigate our heart out of an evil heart. Just write this down. You know, the things that can land your heart in an evil heart. You know, some of us, our hearts are not evil, but there are things God is trying to tell us that, you know, just the same way he told Cain, that sin lies at your door. And this is that kind of note I want us to quickly take. Things that can get your heart to be evil. And an evil heart is a reprobate heart, meaning a heart that God cannot use. So it's the only thing that can happen when a man has a bad heart is that God should change that heart. That was the prayers of Ezekiel. It says that it would give you a new heart and a new spirit. So one is deceitfulness of sin. What's the deceitfulness of sin? When you think sin is not sin. Or when you say Jesus has paid for all and you are in sin. That's the deceitfulness of sin. After a while, you would have an evil heart. Automatically, when you have an evil heart, you have a dead conscience or a seared conscience. But that's not even the main thing. Deceitfulness of sin will get you an, you will buy an evil heart. When you eat the meal that sin serves, which is deceitfulness, when it numbs the importance of what has been done on the cross, that it should not be crucified again. You know, Bible says when we go commit those things again, we are leaning him on the what? On the cross again. We are calling that work, that work of redemption is not strong enough. So that's one. Two, deceitfulness of riches. That's why they really taught us about this, the guy called Mammon. You can only use your heart for it. You can't use any other thing. Deceitfulness of riches. That's why they say the love of money is the root of all evil. So when a man is entrenched and soaked, when greed of Mammon is ravaging your soul, it has turned your heart to be evil. You can kill for money. You will do ritual. You will not care who died. They say bring your mother, you won't care. Yeah, you say the economy is tough, but I need to fulfill all these money demands. So deceitfulness of riches will get a man's heart to be evil. Three, handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, this is what you will find in communities, you know, where you know the word of God, but you will use it for gain. You know the word of God, you would turn it and use it for your own gain. That's handling the word of God deceitfully. You will still be full of the Holy Ghost, but you would have lies. You will be speaking lies. The words you speak, they will all fall to the ground. Handling the word of God deceitfully. When the Lord says, say this, you say another thing. Number four, unbelief or lying against the truth. It will get you an evil heart. Because I want us to be specific and go to God in prayer. Because a lot of times, when God helps us to focus on a part of his word, he really wants us to go on a journey with him, to pray, to travel, and to have breakthrough. We shouldn't have all this. I was just wondering, like, heart. Like, we must have breakthrough. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. For the person that is here, that your own trouble is deceitfulness of riches. You know, you are so, you have broken your breakthrough before God broke it. It's a warning. You can't run faster than your maker. You can't make it happen. Even if the world tells you, fake it until you make it, or make it and fake it, you can't make your destiny happen beyond your maker. So you would only get an evil heart that way. When the world promises you that you can do all that you need to do, and God says, wait for me in the prayer, and he says, God, I'll come back and do that. You won't get it. You would rather get an evil heart. The last one, hidden works of dishonesty. Let's know that God can give us. I like that testimony of Caleb. I don't know Sunday school. I don't know what your plans are this year. But please, if you can help us study Caleb. I don't think that's a man that is really popular in the Bible. Even in that his time, it's Joshua that is really celebrated. But I like the way that testimony said, that God said, my servant, Caleb, he has a different heart. That time, he wasn't spirit. They didn't have regenerated spirit. So when the Lord was referring to a different spirit, it's a different heart that he had. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you can help us, maybe we should know who he is, who gave birth to him. Even how he ended, how he died. But we didn't, I can't even say that I know much of Caleb. Maybe Sunday school can help us. I can't really put that assignment in our hands. I think Sunday school has a proper structure to help us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So please, don't joke with an evil heart. You know, when people like Demas, Alexander, Hymenos, whatever those guys are, they would have hoped and wished that whatsoever they contacted, they didn't contact it. Whatsoever came across them, maybe it was a message. I said, don't be contented. Don't be, you have to do what you should do. I don't even know how to, because it's not a place you stay too long to even explain. I don't even want to explain this. Do you get? But I just want us to leave this place. Because all of these five things we mentioned, we've read it. I can give it. We've read all the scriptures. Mark 4:19. We talked about the deceitfulness of riches. 1 Timothy 2:10. That was where we talked about Hebrews, we read the deceitfulness of sin today, right? Yes. Hebrews 3:13. So everything is, we actually read most of it. Most of it, except the one in James 3:14, where it says you shouldn't lie against the truth. So please, as you go back home, don't go and, like we said, I think this subject is what we'll use to do all the things we are going to be hearing about the word of God, profiting with the word of God, right? Because we will keep hearing the word of God, you know, as we grow and as we live every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, you know, it says, harden not your heart as in the day of, I think KJV said provocation. Now, NKJV says rebellion. And this is that day. It's not like it's the day of the children of Israel. Even in this day, there's, it says the love of many would grow cold on that last day. This is the day of rebellion as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we please appreciate Pastor Anu? Thank you very much. Can we say thank you so much? Can we say we will do the word of God? Yes, I feel the weight of God's washing. And it's because God wants us to be able to profit with the word of God. To do great things that he has put in our hearts. And not be people that we're just bystanders. I think I learned something on Sunday that even, you know, I think the first heart, they said they were on the wayside. And so I learned that if you're on the wayside, you're like, you're not with us, but you're just beside the corner. That way you won't get understanding. Understanding is not for those that are bystanders or way. Those that are on the wayside. Beautiful, right?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.